Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Lord today for allowing me to be on this radio station once again. I want to thank you for tuning in this way today. I hope and pray that the Lord will speak to your heart today, deal with your heart, and let the Word of God have its way in your life, and let it show you your condition and your where you stand with the Lord. That's what the Word of God is for. It's profitable for correction, reproof, for instruction. It's for the children of God and may be thoroughly furnished, and all that's not saved would be able to hear the good news, the glorious gospel. And it should shine unto them, gives them hope of receiving it to be saved. And it will, if they'll obey it and receive it and apply it to their heart, then they'll get saved and they'll be a brand new creature in Christ. Old things will pass away. Old all things become new when you get saved. There is a reality. There is a difference of being saved. Things do change. It's not just a change of mind, it's a change of heart. And the Lord gets alive on the inside. He starts working on the inside. And things begin to change on the outside of you. People begin to take note. You don't look the same. You don't talk the same. You're more humble. You're more loving and kind. And I tell you, you got the clothes of righteousness on that the Lord Jesus put on you when He saved you. He clothed you with His blood and cleansed you and made you brand new. And I tell you, it's nothing like that. When you get saved, there's a total change. And so you can expect that. And you need to look for that when you begin to cry out, seek God to be saved. You need to realize there's a difference that's going to take place. It's not just repeating some kind of prayer. Maybe shedding a few tears and going about your business. And that's all, but it's all about with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, repenting of your sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, asking to forgive you of your sins. You poured out your heart was broken. You were sick, you was tired of running of the things of the world, tired of drawing from the well of the world, and all you wanted would be having a new life and having your sins forgiven and having joy in your life and having peace that you didn't find out in the world. And I tell you, when you come to Him like that and you repent and you call on Him and tell Him you're sinners, Lord Jesus, I'm lost, I'm hell bound, I deserve to go to hell, I don't want to go to hell, and I know if I died right now I would go to hell, and I ask you to have mercy upon my soul, forgive me my sins, Lord God, have mercy upon me, cleanse me, forgive me, give me that joy and peace that I need. And Lord, I'll live for you. I'll follow you, Lord. I'll do my best to please you and to win souls and to tell others about you. I want to be saved. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. If you'll pray like that and you really mean that, He's going to hear you. The Lord is nigh to them that call on Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He's nigh there. He's willing and ready to save. He's just waiting on you to get real, waiting on you to get honest, and waiting you to get real sincere and broken. Because God knows the heart. He knows everything about you. He knows if you mean it or not. He knows if you're holding on to things or not. You may really want to be saved. But on the other hand, you're wanting to hold on to certain things in your life that you need to be willing to give it all up. The things or sins that's in your life that you just don't want to give up. You want to keep those. You want to continue to do the way that you were going or halfway do what you used to do and be saved. But you can't have it like that. You won't lose anything that you need. And when you do get saved, He totally satisfies you. You do those type of things anyway to have something to satisfy you. To think that you get some kind of joy or some kind of, you get some kind of pleasure out of it, but it don't satisfy you because you continue to run after it. You continue to desire the things of the world that don't satisfy you. It leaves you empty. And the sin, will leave you empty, just like the message Brother Roloff preached, and the mule walked on, the Bible said, and he preached and had a sermon. He talked about that. The mule of sin will leave you hanging like it did Absalom. When Absalom went through there and his hair got caught up in the thicket, he was riding upon the mule and the mule walked on, but there he was left hanging. And then no doubt he came and they shot him in his heart with a dart and killed him, because that's exactly what happened. He was rebellious, and he was running after the things he shouldn't. He was, no doubt, he was after his dad, overtake him and be king and to kill his dad. I tell you, the things that David did, the sins of David, that I tell you, it affected the family, and I tell you, this stirred him up, and I tell you, a lot of things happened after that. Bathsheba got pregnant and she lost the baby. And after that, there was one son, and half daughter. They were, I guess, half sister and half brother. And one of them, their half brother, raped her. And Absalom, it was his real sister. And he said, just come with me. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of this situation. And about a year or so later there, he called them all to a banquet, invited the king too. And you would, no doubt the king probably wouldn't come. And he invited them all. And, he killed him. And it, all this came right back in David's face. All that David did, committing adultery and then committing murder to cover up his sins. And the Lord dealt with him, but he paid for his sin. And that's exactly what happens. That's what sin will do. But Absalom wasn't saved. That's why David told him, said, well, when you catch him, or if you do, you catch him, don't you kill him. He's not ready to die. It's my son. He's not ready to die. Don't kill him. And one found him, and he came and told him, I think it was Joab, he said, Absalom's hanging the thicket. He said, did you kill him? He said, no, I didn't kill him. You heard the king. He said, I ought to kill you. And I believe that's what he said. He killed him himself. And the word came back to David that Absalom's dead. And David began to cry out, Absalom, my son, I wish to God I died in your place. He wasn't ready to die. And we can, if we're not careful, we can cause our people that we love and those that God's committed our trust to go to hell if we don't live right, if we don't live like God wants us to live. Sin will affect them, even in our lives, that will affect them in a such a way and that they will be rebellious and they will run. And it is sad today, but we must win them. We don't win our people by what we say. We win them by how we live. And how we conduct ourselves and being a good example who Christ really is to us and how we love Him and how that we practice what we preach. We live it at home. We live it at work. We live it every day. It's not just Sunday morning. It's not just Wednesday night. It's not just the times that we maybe go for a church service, but it's all the time. And we're trying to please God, and they see that that's a reality, that God is true to you and that He's your life. And They may run for a little while, but they'll desire what you have when they see the peace, when they see the joy, when they see the blessings of God upon you, and they see themselves wretched and blind and miserable and naked before God, and knowing that they're sinners, they desire to be the person that you are, and the desire to have the peace that you have and the joy that you have, and that's what it's all about. We got to live by example. If we don't, then our talk is cheap. We can't talk is cheap. We just can't talk it. We got to walk it. And if we walk it, like one man said, we won't have any trouble talking it because it's real and alive in us. And well, that's the way it does. That's when it does get alive in us, when we live it. And it's alive in our hearts and our lives. And when we read the Word of God, we study the Word of God, and we live the Word of God, it gets alive in us, then we're going to be able to preach it with power. We'll be able to preach it in testimony. It's going to be strong because it's real to us. And we put out an effort to really know about more about God. Like the song says, more about Jesus I would know, more of His grace to others show. And I tell you, more about Jesus, I tell you, that's what I want to know. I love Him and He's precious to me. And I just want to learn more about Him. I want to get closer and cleaner. I want to please Him. He chose me. He called me to be a soldier. I tell you, I want to get out in the highways and the byways and compel the lost souls to come in. I want to get them into the house of God. I want to get them into the presence of the Lord. And that starts with labor. And a part of our labor is prayer. That's a big part of our labor is prayer. And I want to be a faithful praying man. I needed to be a lot more faithful in my prayers. And I want to be able to pray and then really get out there and win them. And I know God sends us out when we have desire to, and we're praying about souls and wanting to be used of God, wanting to please Him and having a burden, our eyes affect our heart for souls, and God will send us out, and He'll send us out to do different things, to preach, to sing, to visit, to wherever He has us to go to be a blessing to someone, to go to a little rehab or nursing home facilities and talk to them about the Lord and have a church service or maybe a jail service or wherever it might be, just somewhere God will send us, even amongst our own family, to visit and share with them what God has done for us. And that's what we need today. There is a famine in the land today, and it's not of bread and water so much as it's hearing the Word of God. And people are not hearing it. For one, it's not going forth like it needs to, and other people don't want to hear it. But I tell you, that's the problem today of America. I mean, people are just on the God's people on the stools to do nothing, and they're not getting out there, and they're not rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep, O the air, one lift up the fallen, and tell them of Jesus who's mighty to save. And I tell you that they're living to themselves. They're not living unto God. And there we go. The people are in bad shape. They don't know their left hand from the right hand spiritually. No one's told them. No one's preached to them. No one's been a good example to them. And that's what God was dealing with Jonah about when there was people down there in Nineveh, I believe it was. And there they didn't know their right hand from their left. That's what the Lord told him toward the end of the book there. Because Jonah began to get angry and mad because of the fact that God told him to go down to Nineveh and cry against it. And he didn't. He took a ship and took a fare. Went down to Joppa and took a ship to Tarshish. And he went away from the presence of the Lord. And he got in trouble. He got in a bad storm. He was saved. And as they began to cast lots why this thing had happened and the storm was raging. And all those men there that were on the ship, that mariners are no doubt, they were trying to get it under control. They didn't want to lose no one. And so everyone began to call on their God and call and pray. And they found one down there in the bottom of the boat asleep. And that was Jonah. He was down there asleep while they were about to perish. And he had no clue what was going on. And I know that's what Satan will do. He'll blind God's people if he can. And I tell you, when you leave the presence of the Lord, that's what happens. You do get blinded. The hand of God's not on you. And you make bad mistakes and bad choices. And you don't do the things that you ought to do. And you don't see the things the way you ought to see them. And God help us all today, because I know I need to get closer and clean and be more like the Lord. But Jonah was down there in the hull of that boat, and they said, "Arise, O sleepy, don't you care we perish? Won't you arise and call upon your God?" He said, "This is a horrible thing that's happened here." And Jonah got up, and he told them what happened. He said, "Cast me overboard." And they said, "We will not do this thing." They tried not to, but the harder they tried, the worse it got. And so the Lord got who he wanted. They cast Jonah overboard, and he got still. And then the whale swallowed him up. And the Lord dealt with Jonah in such a way that Jonah observed lying vanity. He forsook his own mercy, and he got himself in a bad storm because he listened to the lies of Satan. And Satan's good in how he does and how he lies. He knows right where we live. He knows how we think. He knows exactly what to tell us and how to tell it to us. And so we got to be careful. He's very cunning. He's very wise. The Bible said he's wiser than Daniel. And I tell you, he's my enemy. He's my adversary. That's the only one I have outside of my old flesh of mine. I have to deal with every day. But it's Satan. But Jonah got in trouble. But Jonah cried out of the belly of hell. And God forgave him. And the whale spit him out on dry ground. He went running. And he went and preached to him. And he did. And they came down and they repented because of the preaching of Jonah. But the Lord had to get his attention deal with him. But that's how rotten the flesh is. But my prayer to God today is, if you're not saved, you'll be saved. Just call on him, just like we talked about early in this broadcast. And he'll save you just like you are. But I see my time's coming and gone. God bless you in Jesus' precious name. And amen.